Welcome to the Court Report. I'm Jerry Price. I'm here with Princeton women's basketball coach Courtney Banghart. And coach, welcome aboard.
I'm so glad to be here.
So a few things. One is you wore a Pittsburgh Steelers jersey to practice.
I was hoping that wouldn't make the air. Yeah.
So isn't Cindy Boyer from California?
Yeah, but her family's from Pittsburgh.
Okay. So
die hard. Those Pittsburgh fans. So we made what started as a friendly wager turned into a hot mess in that I had to wear a Steelers jersey all through practice yesterday. Bummer.
How was that?
You know, it's hard on the heart after my team loses and I have to show the world to see, and I had posted it. That was our rule. We had to post it. And a lot of my hometown friends were not happy with my bet.
So let's also, for compliance sake, no money changes hands.
No
here,
money.
So
no, she would have had to wear a Patriots jersey for the whole first day of class.
Oh, that would have been good.
That would have been really good.
That's pretty good, though, that you're able to do that and practice, you know, a couple of days before a game. That's,
yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, we're a pretty lighthearted team. And she texted me and asked me if I was up for a bet. And I said, I'm up for a friendly wager. And it didn't go so well for me.
Do you think that this is possibly the beginning of the end of the Brady-Belichick dynasty that they've had?
You know,
because everybody says that every year, but
I know, right? You know, I think it's a sign of a great organization is you just constantly are reloading. So I hope that whenever it is time for that to end, that we've put the pieces in place to reload.
But they don't have the quarterback.
No, there are other quarterbacks, just like we, you know, losing Naveen, and then we got Blake, and then we got Bella, and it's just kind of the way the world works, I guess.
So, not 100% sure what the halftime score was against Maris the other day.
It was, we were down 11.
36-27 or 37-26. So you're down by 11.
Yeah.
You're walking off the court.
Yep.
And, you know, it wasn't a great first half.
No.
And do you remember the first thing you did?
I thank the cheerleaders, yes, for coming. Yeah. You know, it's Christmas break, and there were probably about 20 cheerleaders there supporting us, and I appreciated it.
So that was nice. I thought that was pretty nice. Yeah.
I wasn't quite so nice to my group when I got in the locker room.
So, you know, turned around, came back and won the game. It was a very good game, a very good win. People always say, well, what'd you say at halftime?
Yeah,
what,
I bet.
What do you say at halftime? Like, is there any value in losing your mind and screaming and ranting and raving? Or is it just about, like,
for me, I'm pretty tactical. You know, I think I'm a pretty professorial in terms of how I see the game and how I try to teach it. And so we were making some real defensive mistakes. I mean, we weren't jumping to the ball. We weren't below action. Our ball pressure was way below average. And so we ratcheted up the ball pressure to take away vision. We did better on off-ball screening. And that led to also, we needed to get the ball inside and on offense earlier in the possession to contract the defense. So it was very tactical. I think at times you have to raise your voice because you're competitive and you, but for the most part, it was tactical.
So were you not surprised at how the second half went? I mean, was it kind of expecting? I guess my question is, as a coach, do you have a good read on where your team is? Like, tonight's not our night, I just can tell, or no, we'll be okay.
Yeah, you know, I think it's, I sort of told them that. I sort of said, if this is how we're going to play, we're going to lose, and that's okay. You know, you're just going to have another loss, and, you know, you'll still wake up tomorrow morning. And but we do this to compete, and we're not really, what do you want those people to see you as? Like, you're not competing with your head and heart. And so, you know, I think it was, I wasn't that I was worried. I was more like, you haven't done what we've asked you to do, and if you want to win, you will, and they did.
What did you take away from Bella's performance?
You know, I think Bella's still getting into the groove. You know, she's so gifted and she does so many things on the floor. That started the game a little bit passive, and I really challenged her hard at halftime in front of everybody that her being assertive is us doing our thing. And as she ratcheted up her assertiveness on both ends, we were much better.
I mean, you know, she's had better games, right?
No doubt.
Clearly, but she still ended up with 24 points and, you know, was clearly the dominant player in the game. I mean, do you watch her play on games? It's like watching a pitcher who, you know, they don't have their best stuff that night, but they still strike out 11 and,
yeah,
you know,
exactly,
still get the
good
win.
Line.
I mean, she was, you know.
Yeah. You know, I think for me, I'm trying to be patient because she's just getting back into the swing of things, but I also recognize how good she wants to be, and I have an obligation and a responsibility to get her to be her very best before she goes on to the next level. And so I constantly see room for improvement and room for growth, and I think she appreciates that.
So I was, you know, as I was watching the game, I was like, you know, she has 24 points, and it's you know, she had to work hard to get them, and it wasn't, you know, she wasn't at her best. Obviously, it's only her second game back. Or no, it's her third. It was her third game back.
Mm-hmm. Actually, her fourth. Oh, no, third. You're right. Sorry. Yep.
3-0 with Bella, four straight.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, one thing I was thinking is, you know, that night is coming where she is completely on her game in all phases of the game,
mm-hmm.
and she's going to get like a 40-point night or something like that. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I would hope. I mean,
like
I think
20 rebounds and 8 block shots.
Exactly.
And like, well,
I think
else.
For the beauty of Bella is that she doesn't care about statistics. She cares about winning. And so long as we're winning, and I think once she recognizes how important she is to our winning, then we have the better chance of that happening.
The other thing about watching a player like Bella or watching a player like Devin Kennedy or Michael Sowers on the men's lacrosse team is you only have a finite amount of time to watch these kids play here. And it's every time you get to see them play, it's a special occasion mm-hmm. for the program or for a fan who's watching. And I wonder if when you're so close to it, do you have that perspective?
I think especially with her missing the first half of the season, I definitely, the finality of an athletic career is why seniors are so valuable. And you know me for a long time. I just think the athletic mortality is so critical to college athletics. And so I try to teach all of them that it's a finite period of time. And time is a really valuable commodity. It's not to be wasted.
So 57 all, your ball.
Yeah.
There was, I don't know what the difference between the shot clock and the game clock was, but you couldn't take it all the way down.
No, about 17 seconds.
What are you thinking there? Because the whole world is expecting the ball to go to Bella.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I tried to bring it down to about 20 and then called timeout so we could have a sideline. I felt like Bella's going to have a lot of opportunities to win games for us. The way that they were guarding her, I just thought that we would have a good chance to run her as a decoy. Rush, I have a ton of faith in. She's big as big moments come up, throughout her career. So using her as a decoy and then such a great context screen by Sydney Jordan. I thought going up three would be helpful because a two-point game, with the way the game was being called, it's a hard stop to get late in the game. So we were going for the three or the offensive rebound at that point.
And the other thing about the three, if you got two, they can get three and win it there because they were a good three-point shooting team.
No doubt. It's a really good team. I mean, I got many emails from alums who were watching who was like, wow, what a fun game. That was such a great team. And that's Marist for you. They're both well-coached and they reload.
And the game-winning shot, and that was a no doubt about it, right down the middle.
Yeah.
That's like lining up for the field goal and just boom, right down the middle.
Yep. And then defensively, what we didn't do against Seton Hall was use our fouls to give well. And so I thought we did a really good job execution end game and using our fouls. They didn't even get a shot off late game. So, again, a young team growing up, a huge win for us at home. And if we win the next two before Christmas, we end up going into Christmas 500 with what we've gone through. It would be a great season so far.
So the next one is tomorrow at 2:00 mm-hmm. in the afternoon in Brooklyn against St. Francis. Had that game end up on the schedule? St. Francis 6-4. They have some good results.
Yeah, they do. And it's a new coach who was when we scheduled it. That ended up because I wanted our kids to see New York City around Christmas. So we're going to do what the men did and go to the World Trade Center and see New York City at night. And we're also going to stop by Rockefeller Center and see the tree. Even though we're so close to New York, a lot of our players are so immersed in our season and our academic course load, we don't get to see it that time of year. So that was more of a locational game that we get a chance to see New York together.
Have you ever been to St. Francis's gym?
I don't know.
I was there when I was in the newspaper business, and Ryder and St. Francis were in. St. Francis still is in the NEC, and Ryder was in the NEC. And
oh wow!
You'll like it.
I see it on film. Obviously, I've done a lot of film for them. 2:00 game, so we expect to have a bunch of the little.
You'll like it.
There.
It's a good environment.
Good. And they have five guys that average double figures. They shoot the ball very high percentage. They're over 40% from three, over 40% from two. So we're going to have to really guard, which is fun. It's a good time of year for us. We've played all different styles, so fun for us to feel prepared.
So one thing about your team is when you get to the key part of the season, which is the Ivy League season, other than the Penn games, everything is Friday night, Saturday night. And what that does, I would think, is it makes your weeks very regimented. So everybody knows. Sunday we do this. Monday we do this.
Yep.
Tuesday we do this.
No doubt.
This is how we're preparing everybody. Yep. You, assistant coaches, players,
absolutely.
Trainer, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So now at this time of year, everything is hit or miss.
Yeah.
There's a game. Today's Tuesday. So Wednesday, then there's another game Friday.
Yep.
Then there's a week off. Then there's, if you go back, there's been like, breaks.
It's the worst. And, yeah. And when you're off, your team's off, you're recruiting. I was recruiting the last 2 days because we practiced in the morning. The unpredictability of this time of year is hard for any routine.
So what is that? How does that affect you? And the other part is at 2:00 to start. Like your last game before that was 5:00.
Yeah.
the game at Hartford, I believe, is 7.
Correct? Yeah.
So you're going 5 o'clock game, a 2 o'clock game, 7
yeah.
o'clock game.
And in part, it's by design. I think there's so many coaches that are really routinized and they're superstitious and things like that. The downside with that is there's so few things you can control, right? And so if something deviates from what your norm routine is, then that, in a way, is an outlier to your performance. And so I try to – I'm not superstitious, and I don't seek routine. I just want, the minute I see them pregame, we lock in. So some are away, some are home, some are same day travel, some are overnight travel, some are, because we're going to play Columbia on the same day travel, I want it to be in New York same day travel before we do that, just like we go play Nova on same day travel so that we can, a Philly team, so we can go play Penn on same day travel. But I think people who join our staff are surprised at, I'm not one of those coaches that has to like tie my shoes a certain way and have a routine. I care that we play hard, share the ball, and celebrate one another.
So you talk about the Philly trip, and mm-hmm. of course the first Ivy game here on January 5th, Saturday. It's a doubleheader with the men. Then the men play again against Penn the next week, and then the women don't play again for 3 weeks until against Penn. But the two Penn games are the first two league games.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on that?
When you play your travel partner, which in our case is Penn, just like the men, you have to agree on when you want to play that second game. So there's no real obvious way to do it because we're going to have to go Friday, Saturday, Tuesday, Friday, Saturday. That's not awesome either.
And then you don't want to do that before the Ivy tournament.
And you don't want to do that before the Ivy tournament. Yeah, and it was only one game in January, so it makes sense. But, Mike from Penn is not in favor of playing two in a row, and I get it because arguably us two are often playing for the title. And so,
always.
Yeah, exactly. Over the past handful of years, 8 years or something like that. So to play both of those games up front, now it might not matter as much with the tournament.
It's interesting to do that because
it is. So if you split, it becomes, now it's just how you do against everybody else. If you sweep, you're two games behind or two games ahead. So I'm not as opposed to it. I think we'll see in the future how we handle it. Was now the Ivy tournament kind of as a neutralizer.
It is kind of interesting though, because if the first two Ivy tournaments, the championship game was Penn and Princeton. Penn and Princeton are the favorites again this year. I'm not writing anybody else off.
Of course,
not guaranteeing that. Yep. But should it come to that, you will have gone a very long time without seeing each other.
So. No, because we're going to play them in February. So we're doing, the men are playing two in a row. We're not.
I thought you were January 5th and January 26th.
The men are. No, we are January 5th, and then we don't play again until February 26th.
February 26th.
Yeah, so we're doing the Friday, Saturday, Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, which is not great. You play 5 games in 8 days. But I think for the fact that the two of us have kind of ruled the league, I think the thinking is why play both of them first.
No, I didn't realize that. I thought you were the first. They were your first.
I think the men are playing both of theirs in a back-to-back, which, again, I'm not opposed to.
So yours is February 26th.
Or the 22nd, some Tuesday in February.
I thought it was Saturday and then Saturday 3.
No, it's later. One whole way through. So we start with them to start round robin, and then we play them again before the second round robin.
Okay, so that's in the new year. This is still the end of this year. Still some non-league games to be played, including tomorrow afternoon at St. Francis in Brooklyn, if anybody's in the area.
Yeah.
And then Friday night at Hartford, a game tonight on TV, 6 o'clock, the men's game at Duke. So, this is.
It's basketball season. This is what it's about.
Right. This is quite a challenge for a team. So when you go into a game like that.
Yeah. Well, we're playing Hartford on Friday. The kids' bags will be packed for Christmas. Hartford just took Michigan State, who beat Oregon, to overtime. You just every chance you get to lace them up. This time of year when people aren't in classes gives you a unique perspective. So in terms of the men playing, people have asked me how we would handle that playing, for example, UConn. And I think it's just a level of what you want to control is how competitive you can be. And so my hope is that the men show how competitive they are right down the roster, and regardless of the score, regardless of the call, regardless of the fans, because not all wins and losses are on the scoreboard.
So you go into a game like that, and I assume you're like, let's just go TV timeout to TV timeout.
Mm-hmm.
But it's quite a challenge for the men, and it's...
Yeah, at Duke. Yeah, I mean, Duke's got is sort of the best class
team
of the league.
By far.
Yeah, they also have, they have just
the top three picks
men.
In the NBA draft.
Yeah. You get to play get to play there. It's a great environment. It's following Atlantic City trip and New York in Madison Square Garden. I mean, it's a great opportunity. But I think you can, I've scheduled really hard every year. And I think the point of it is you see how, as I always say, we all put our shorts and shirt on the same way. So it's just a chance to compete.
Yeah, and make some shots and, put some pressure on them and see what happens. Have you gotten a chance to see Jalen Llewellyn play?
Yes.
He's for real, isn't he?
Oh, man, he's just tremendous. He's shifty, he's talented, he's poised, he's got a great demeanor, he's competitive, he can score in all three facets. you know, it's worth watching him live too.
So your team trying to get back to 500 by the end of the
calendar. I know it sounds gross, but for what we've gone through, it's going to be
great. From 1-7 to, yeah. to make it back to 7-7 would be quite an achievement.
Yeah.
And you know, with Bella back 3-0, and you know, hopefully some other people coming back soon.
Very soon, thank God.
And you know, all in all, as we get to this point of the year, you know, you can be pretty excited about where your team is pointed. So let me ask you this question. Next Tuesday is Christmas. The Tuesday after that is New Year's Day. What are we going to do about our podcast?
Oh, that's right. Christmas. Well, I'll be here Christmas, and I'll be here Christmas Eve, and I'll be here. You know, we practiced the 26th. We practiced New Year's Eve. So that's going to be depending on your schedule.
We could have a Christmas Day podcast.
We could. We have to be over the – yeah, we'd have to do it here. Yeah, because I'll be here.
Okay.
I'd have to do it on – I think we're going to – God, our kids get up at about 6 a.m., maybe even 5:30. So I'll be available from about 5:30 a.m. on.
Okay, so we said, you know, like we were going to be here every Tuesday. So
yeah, get some people to listen to.
We'll be back next Tuesday. All right. Christmas Day.
Love it.
All right. Well, good luck tomorrow in Brooklyn. And if any Princeton fans in New York City want to get out there, it's a 2 o'clock tip-off at St. Francis of Brooklyn. It's a really great environment to see a game. It'll be a lot of fun. They're a good team, 6-4. And then Friday night at Hartford.
Yeah.
And then we'll be back next week to talk about those games. And then the game in New Hampshire after Christmas. I'm sure we'll have some Christmas things to talk about.
Yeah.
In the meantime.
Go Pats.
Thanks for go Pats. Thanks for being with us as always.
Thank you. My pleasure.
So for Princeton Head Women's Basketball Coach Courtney Bankhart, I'm Jerry Price. Thank you for being with us here on the Court Report. And thank you for your continued support of Princeton Women's Basketball.